This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
And we start off tonight in the UK, where the first transgender prison unit has been opened. The BBC has reported that an English women's prison is opening a separate and segregated unit which will house transgender prisoners. It will reportedly be the first such segregated unit in the UK. So an interesting development there. This comes on the fact that there are 140 transgender prisoners at the moment in UK prisons. And there have been some issues, and it's mainly about the safety of prisoners. And it came on the heels in 2019. There was one particular unfortunate event with a transgender prisoner who'd been previously convicted of rape. While housed in a women's prison in Yorkshire, assaulted two inmates. So
have they done this to protect transgender prisoners or to stop assaults?
It seems a bit of both. So they just say the safety of all prisoners is their main concern. So they
have a higher incarceration rate than us here in Australia, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So I was looking up, and I was looking at the media that followed the back of this, I was a bit concerned about how this issue had been sensationalised because we were talking about transgender prisoners. And when you actually look at the sums or the figures, there are 140 transgender prisoners that they've identified in England and Wales, but there are 80,000 people who are locked up. So that's a tiny, tiny proportion. Mm. And you wonder if this response is proportionate. And as you say, is it really about protecting transgender prisoners, or is it about prisoner safety? I mean, obviously this was a significant, serious issue that happened, but you wonder if they're putting the efforts in the right places.
Well, the minister has said that the wider management of transgender offenders is a highly sensitive issue which poses unique and complex challenges, so they do at least acknowledge that this is not an easy issue.
I've got another story, which is
out of the UK as well.
From the UK, yeah. And it's an academic study that came out today in the British medical journal Sexual and Reproductive Health. And the headline, again, it's a bit how you spin these stories. That's always what fascinates me about these stories. It says, sporty or bisexual older ladies have more sexual partners over their lifetimes than physically inactive or straight women. And then it goes on to tell us that gay older men have more lifetime partners than straight men. Well, gee whiz. That's one reaction, isn't it? Gee whiz. We never knew that gay men had more sexual partners on average, of course, not everybody, than straight men.
I just want to know if it gives me a longer life. That's when I'm more good.
Well, but I wanted to come back and actually say, I think this is really important research. I come from a research background. This is about the sexual lives of people over 50, and we have sexual lives too. That's really important. And it's about what the researchers say is this information may help health practitioners identify those who are at greatest risk of STIs and their associated health complications over the life course. And they also present benefits potentially for younger adults through targeted interventions to educate groups at risk of having a high number of sexual partners about the risks of doing so and safe sex. And really, this is what the researchers claim. This is one of the first studies, and it's a serious study. It's not sort of like your Cosmos study. It's a serious study that looks at what are the factors that are associated with if you have more sexual partners. So they looked at things like whether your social class or whether you were obviously single, a whole bunch of factors which I think haven't been done before. So it's interesting.
I love that so many people actually took part too. There's nearly 50,000 people participated. So
there's a whole
over 50s aren't shy.
No, they're not. They're not. And there's a whole history we could go into another time about this study actually, in probably Maggie Thatcher's responsible from this, that England has a whole history of doing some of the best quality sexual behaviour research in the world.
And I'm just so glad that I can have a sexual life after 50.
You can. Let's talk about it later.
Across to China now, where China has agreed to United Nations resolutions that will protect LGBT rights. However, there are some people thinking that this might not be the case. China legalized gay sex in 1997 and removed it from the list of mental illnesses in 2001. But same-sex marriage is still illegal. There are still many, many reports we've had on this show about gay conversion therapy operating across the country. This has all come out of the United Nations Human Rights Council's Universal Periodic Review that they do every 5 years on participating countries. Many countries submitted recommendations, and China has said, yeah, yep, we'll do them all.
No, actually, it says they're doing them all already. Nothing to see here. We're doing all of this. We've implemented all of this. Apparently,
and this includes this. We're talking about anti-discrimination laws, both in public and private workplaces, legislation against all types of discrimination, particularly like the one from the Netherlands. They said that China is to adopt legislation within 1 year prohibiting discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity in all public and private sector workplaces. Yeah, China's response. This fully demonstrates China's determination and its active, open attitude towards promoting human rights. Well, we might stay tuned on that one.
I'm interested if anyone can listen to Joy in China or can listen to this podcast. If you can, send a message in. We'd like to hear from you.
Over in Europe, well, actually, it's actually in the Arab world, actually, but it starts off in Europe. Prime Minister of Luxembourg, who's Xavier Bittel, is the first ever openly gay Prime Minister from Luxembourg, has reportedly stunned an Arab leaders' conference into silence by pointing out he could get legally killed in some of their nations.
He mentioned the gay word.
I love this story because I just think
I love it too.
I think he's so brave to do this in Egypt, you know, not in his home turf, but when he's over there, it's fantastic.
He's basically very classy. Bailed them up over their very poor laws of gay people within their own country, and media reporting that it was met with an icy silence.
So some of the countries that were at the summit, such as Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Sudan and Yemen, where it still is legally punishable, gay sex is legally punishable by death. Not to be forgetting that it's also still illegal in Algeria, Lebanon, Libya, Morocco, Oman, Tunisia, Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates.
They've got a little way to go. And in brief, in Japan, the first rainbow marathon has taken place in the streets of Tokyo.
Taiwan's main opposition party, the KMT, has reportedly expressed support for a rival bill that specifically excludes marriage and limits the rights of same-sex couples.
And in Nigeria, they've elected the president who previously called gay sex abhorrent.
In New Zealand, Wellington Airport painted a massive LGBT rainbow along the runway for Pride.
Woo-hoo. And in Israel, a Jerusalem pizzeria has been fined $4,500 for refusing to serve a gay man.
Boo.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.